I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Let's call a spade. They are not a big club.
Donnarumma is looking like he's leaving PSG.
Thank you and goodbye.
You guys see the interview that Gibbs White did?
Oh my God. It was scary, bro. I was scared for him.
Players that we are buying stocks in. Bit out there, but I did my research. Guy named... Center mid, stay with me now.
We here.
Yes, sir. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the 6 Yard Box podcast. Where today we have a whole bunch of transfers to go through. We have the latest in this crazy transfer window. We have players snaking their clubs. We have players not going back to their former clubs. We have teams within the prospect of spending 400 plus million pounds this transfer window. Nothing we would have expected. And then also, we are going through our players that we are buying stocks in this season. That includes young players, older players, whoever it might be that we think are going to absolutely explode in value in this upcoming season. And joining me for this conversation, we have a four-man edition today. We have European champion Antoine. How are you?
Pretty good. How are you?
Not bad. Not bad. Thank you for asking.
Of course.
We have Blake.
Hi.
Nice kit.
Thank you.
Really fuck with that one. We got that one courtesy of New Jersey Plug, of course. Thank but you. Once again, right after we get a kit, the player on the back changes his number.
Yeah.
I'm not
doing the turn today, but...
Oh, no, you don't have to.
It's Mbappe. Just like me, actually, today.
Oh, yeah.
Except I have the real number.
Mr. Lotte.
Mr. Lotte.
Yeah.
And of course, we have Miles here. How are you, my friend?
Good.
Miles, with a new look today.
Yeah. I added glasses to the edition.
I really fuck with the glasses.
Thank you very much. I very much appreciate it. And I've got, I'm wearing my team's number 9, Gabriel Jesus, who is soon to be out of a job. So feels good.
Is he like definitely getting sold?
No, like not definitely getting sold, 100%.
Just won't be playing much.
For being just definitely lost his certified starting place. Oh, did you pull up a photo of what I look like?
No,
let
starting.
Me see.
No, I'm just kidding. No,
nah, come on. No, just turn the computer.
Now you have to. No.
It's just, I'll say after.
Save for off air.
I will.
All right. You boys have to tell me how you're feeling after the Victor Gyökeres announcement. We'll make it quick because we've talked about him so much. But how did you enjoy the video? You guys were going a little insane on the group chat with the announcement. Mainly you.
Yeah, that's just like on brand for my person. I'm just happy. I'm just happy it's over, to be honest.
And now you can move on to crashing out about another signing.
Yeah, like whatever Eze or guys, I kind of want Leao now.
You want who?
Bro, what?
What do you mean?
Why?
How greedy is this guy?
Bro, what do you mean greedy? We're going to get another left-sided player, so why not Leao?
Bro, you should go for Luis Diaz, low-key.
Yeah. But I'd rather someone like a little younger, a little fresh and exciting.
Yep, so
how old is Luis Diaz? I guess he's pretty young,
26.
Yeah.
You know what?
Eze's older.
Yeah, so I'm wrong, man. For some reason,
but they
would have
sold
30,
he went for what, 75 to Bayern? 28. They would have sold him for way more for
us
because
that's
of
a crazy
tax.
Fee. We'll get into that. But no, I'm excited. Like I said, I think Gyökeres will be super good for this Arsenal team.
Yeah.
The more I do look at it though, the more I do think that like he's not gonna just start every game right away, I don't think. Like, there's definitely going to be an adjustment period. And, like, what if like, we even play Havertz and Gyökeres together? Like, is that even a possibility?
Havertz and Gyökeres together?
Yeah.
If you can, I guess, slot Havertz, either shoehorn him in on the wing or in midfield, right behind him.
Yeah, definitely not on the wing, but, like, as a second striker...
Wouldn't be the craziest thing our team
has done. So, I mean, there's just a lot of different scenarios we can go through. But I'm just super excited. Happy it's over. He looks good in the Arsenal kit. Announcement videos there. Excited.
Good.
Yeah.
Aaron Ramsdale is also a Newcastle player.
I love that, man.
Do you?
I love it, dude.
Is
it official now?
No. It's just...
If this happens, he deserves it, dude. He's actually such an underrated keeper. I swear to God. He's very solid.
Oh, it's going to be a loan. I see.
Yeah. He's a solid keeper, man. As a backup, too, there's nothing wrong with this transfer. There's like no risk in it. You're getting a Premier League proven keeper on loan. Sure, his recent times haven't been good, but he was great with Arsenal. Good shot stopper. Has a mistake in him, but he's a backup keeper. Oh well.
Well, I say it to transition us to, I think, the main topic of the week, which has been a development in the transfer window that I don't think anybody has expected. Alexander Isak is requesting a transfer out of Newcastle and looks to be forcing a move to Liverpool. What the hell is going on?
That is absolutely insane.
Mental.
I mean, after signing Ekitike too, which is, you wouldn't ever believe that. But I guess it makes sense in a way. You see City with Haaland and Marmoush, yep. Two world-class, I'd say, or very, one of them is definitely world-class. The other one might be nearing that very level good, soon. Yeah. Maybe Liverpool kind of want to replicate that, where if one player isn't really performing well, then you have the other one to rely on.
Yep.
So the more I think about this, the more I think it might make sense to me. Yeah. But for $150 million, adding on top of what you've already spent this season, this transfer window, yeah. Wow, that's
insane. They also got Florian Wirtz earlier in the transfer window. Like, you can't forget
about
that.
Who haven't they got?
Yeah.
They've already spent, I think, £300 million this window, or 250, yes. Whatever it may be. That's mental. And especially for Liverpool, who haven't been really known as big spenders in the window. That's insane. The saga with Newcastle goes. So first it was Liverpool are interested in both Isak and Ekitike. And then Newcastle were like, screw you. You're obviously not getting Isak. We're going to go for Ekitike instead. And we're going to laugh in your face. And Liverpool signed Ekitike. And then Isak is like, well, actually, I quite want to go there myself. So now Newcastle here, I think what this is, Newcastle are kind of being reminded that they could win all the games they want. They could be in the Champions League. They could develop however many players they want. They're not them.
Well,
they're
not a big club. That was the biggest thing. That was the biggest thing. If Newcastle made Champions League, then we all thought that Isak would want to stay because of the project and because of what was happening at Newcastle and the promising future. But they made Champions League and he still wants out. It's kind of just, you're shooting a dead horse at that point.
That's what I'm saying. There's something fishy going on with this whole situation. Because why after Ekitike goes to Liverpool, and let's just broaden it out to other teams as well. Arsenal have been interested, supposedly, in Isak since however long? How many years have this been a thing? So after Arsenal signed their striker, after Liverpool signed their striker, the two of the biggest clubs who have been interested in him pretty heavily in the past couple of seasons, then he asks for an out?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It seems weird to me. Liverpool, you know, very well might get him, but it just, the timing of it, like it, I don't know if there was a falling out between him and Eddie Howe or whatever the hell it was, but like, dude, you can't tell me it isn't somewhat strange that after all of the fiasco that happened, now he says to the team that he wants out.
I think it's just the fact that Liverpool have only expressed interest, real interest in him publicly in the past 2 weeks, ever since they got linked to Ekitike as well. And it's clear that he wanted Liverpool the entire time more than he wanted any other big club. Yeah.
But he only requested a transfer out after Liverpool had signed Ekitike.
I know.
That's why I find it a little bit weird.
That's when it came out.
But fair. Yeah.
And you bring up the point of him losing out with Eddie Howe a little bit. It kind of is coming to fruition too, because we saw Eddie Howe saying after the game against Arsenal that there's no chance that Isak would be
joining for preseason. Yeah.
I mean, it's no secret, especially this transfer window with Newcastle having trouble attracting players. Yeah, they signed Anthony Elanga, which I do think is a good signing. But other than that, I mean, almost every single player that they've targeted has been scooped up by other players or staying with their own club. And I think that kind of Isak, looking at the bigger picture with no Champions League and seeing that Newcastle are struggling to get players in, I mean, I guess I don't want him to go to Liverpool, but like, do you blame the guy? And also, we hear this talk about how, like, you guys remember how Newcastle have this, they're backed by the Saudis, right? And you do have to wonder, like, I have seen a lot of Newcastle fans complaining about, it's like, look at us, like, we're backed by the Saudi state, how come we're not spending any money? And they're really frustrated, and I feel rightfully so they are, that they, maybe it's just the picture of moving to Newcastle, with all due respect.
And I think that's what Isak is feeling too, which has contributed to his feelings of wanting out. Yeah. I think it's been a very uninspiring transfer window for Newcastle. Let's call a spade a spade. Yeah. They sign Anthony Elanga. That's basically it. And meanwhile, look what all these teams are doing. And Newcastle, I think they had please forgive me, I forget her name, but they had a woman, and she was on the board of directors, and she was kind of like the one behind business before she kind of moved on somewhere else. But that was who was in charge of the Bruno Guimarães signing, of the Isak signing, of the Tonali signing, all of these guys who were relatively, I wouldn't say unknown prospects, especially with Tonali, but weren't like
proven on the world stage yet.
Exactly. Mm. And now they're going for like mid-tier Premier League players. What are we doing here?
It's
like,
weird.
It's really weird.
The whole Newcastle, it's just weird. Everything about it is weird. And I don't know where it stems from, but it's weird.
And what do you do if you're Newcastle now? If Isak leaves, who do you recruit? I mean, the project and the ambitions are obviously still there, but you're missing probably the most important piece that you had over the last three seasons.
Yeah, I don't... Dude, I think
they're looking at Sesko, but then you also have United looking at Sesko, so there's going to be a little battle there between who's going to get him. But beyond that, is there really a striker that can come in and replace Isak in terms of output and quality in the world?
I mean, there isn't.
There isn't.
There just isn't.
Yeah. I mean, there's players that might give similar like glimpses of what they can do, maybe Jean-Philippe Mateta, but obviously it wouldn't be nearly anything as good as what Isak was doing.
Yeah.
But it seems like the striker market now, since every team has signed their strikers, Arsenal with Gyökeres, Liverpool with Ekitike, it seems like the striker market now is diluted.
Yeah.
There's not many strikers to go around anymore.
And they signed that young striker from, I don't know where, but he's from Sheffield. Or no, he's on loan, I guess. I don't even know. But they have him coming back in.
What's his name?
Osula. But other than that, like, they don't have a striker on their roster, really.
Callum Wilson.
Callum Wilson's leaving, I think.
Oh, he's gone.
Yeah.
Come on, Callum Wilson.
Bring him back.
Yeah, Callum Wilson.
Bring him back.
25 as well as...
I mean,
I know.
Yeah. Assuming this Osula guy gets minutes, if they didn't have this guy coming back in, they just don't have a striker if Isak leaves. So then it's like, you need two. You need two strikers.
The one thing they do have over United is, like Miles said, the money that the Saudi state is backing.
Yeah. Exactly.
So it would probably be much easier for them to bring in a striker just because they can pay that extra bit of money. But it's still, the situation is still critical for Newcastle.
Yeah. Yeah, I see a lot of frustrated Newcastle fans because you would think that they'd be able to spend so much money. And obviously, we don't want them to just have the Saudi state backing them and they're spending 500 mil a window. That's obviously too much. But they have not spent anywhere near what we were expecting when Saudi took them over, right?
Yeah.
I know PSR rules are very strict and everything, but it's like I see Newcastle fans confused, dazed, really, really frustrated that they're not allowed to be spending anywhere near what they should be.
Did you see that talk sport?
Oh my God, yes.
Yeah.
Wait, what is it? We don't need to sell.
We don't need to let him go.
We don't need to let him go. Bro, that's actually a form of bullying, bro. Whatever that was not cool. But you're right, though. It's accenting your point. Like, it's crazy. And I get it. The PSR or whatever. But, I mean, Liverpool are about to spend $400 million. Yeah. I get they just sold Diaz.
Yeah.
Again, there's something weird going on.
I think it's a combination of really poor management from everybody at Newcastle above Eddie Howe. Mm. It's bullshit PSR rules. It's Newcastle not being the most appetizing place to live.
Yeah.
And it's just the fact that they are, let's call a spade, they are not a big club. They are not on the same level as a Liverpool, as a City, as an Arsenal.
But they can be.
They can be in 10 years, but they're not that right
now. It is hard
to
sell a project to someone. Yeah. That is true.
No current-day football player grew up dreaming of playing for Newcastle.
Fair. That's fair.
Let's call it that.
But they have Champions League. They have a bit of history. They have the Premier League. You know what I mean?
Of course. They will never have that extra appeal. At least right now.
Yeah.
In modern day football.
It obviously is harder to sell a Newcastle project over a Liverpool project right now.
Yeah.
Exactly. And if Newcastle and Liverpool were in the exact same situation, let's call that hypothetical, then he would still want to go to Liverpool.
Yeah.
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 I mean, it goes to show at the end of the day, it kind of is a good thing that money isn't everything to these guys, unless what you said, there's just something going really wrong at the very top of the club, which I do believe.
I think there were also talks of a new contract for Isak, but they're not paying him what he's worth. is what I'm hearing, basically. Like, Newcastle have publicly said he's a £150 million player. He's then going, okay, pay me like one, and they're not. He's around, I think, like 100K, 125 a week. But he should be
pennies.
He should be on like
he should be on three. Yeah,
yeah. He should be on like 250, 300. Yeah, yeah. So it's a really really odd situation that kind of reminds you that some clubs are just massive and they're always going to have that appeal.
That's fair.
You know what? And that's just the truth about football.
As a selfish Arsenal fan, if they get Liverpool get Isaac, like we just need to go all in for Rodrigo. I've seen people. I've seen the discourse online that like. Eze's a better player than Rodrigo. Okay. Like, I swear to God, I've seen this from Arsenal. Or like, I'd rather Eze over Rodrigo, 100%. And it's like, man, what are we doing?
So why would you need to go all in on Rodrigo?
Because I think right now you get Eze as the window stands, and let's say Liverpool don't get Isaac. And like, I think that we had the best window, obviously, of our lifetime. But like the second best window, I think, out of all of the teams. And even Liverpool, man, like, Wirtz is great.
No, you can't say Liverpool had. You can't say you had a better.
Wirtz is great,
but I see where you're coming with this.
The two fullbacks, like realistically, Liverpool going into this window, they didn't have a lot of pressure on them. They just won the league. Yeah, they want to finish better in the Champions League next season, but they didn't have a lot of pressure to like fill holes. Sure, they wanted to fill the Trent hole, and they did. Other than that, there was nothing.
Well, I mean, there's
they wanted to replace Robertson. They did.
There's clearly room for improvement in the Champions League, like you mentioned.
Absolutely, but I'm saying there wasn't like a gaping hole besides right back. That
in
they
terms
need
of
to fill.
Moving the needle, I think you put the two teams up in comparison over like the transfer business that they've done. I think in terms of Arsenal, the ceiling has been raised with their transfer business that they've done, and I think with Liverpool, it's been good. They've gotten better, but. I still don't think they've gotten that much better.
Come on. Like, we can't downplay. No. We can't downplay
I'm not
the transfer.
I'm not downplaying.
Right,
I just think they're already such a good team. You're adding Wirtz, who is really good, but you,
Liverpool,
at the heart of it all,
literally.
You still have Salah, who is your main guy to that team. And to be honest, I believe he's the answer that just solves everything for them.
Liverpool quite literally positioned themselves on every player that needed to be bought in this market. They got Wirtz.
Oh, like the big
players that were available on the market. They got Wirtz. They got Frimpong, the best replacement for Trent.
Yeah.
They got Kerkez, who Robertson is looking a little.
Yeah, I mean, they wanted to replace.
That was their biggest problem this season, I'd say. Kerkez. They replaced him.
They
got Ekitike, who's firing off all cylinders.
But again, Ekitike, I think.
Sure, he's not. Yes, he's a very raw talent.
Yeah.
And he needs to show more.
Yeah.
He maybe for you, he needed to show more to be worth that price tag.
Sure.
But it's still a very good striker in the market.
And you're right. Like, all things considered, you have to look at them. Sure, they have the best window. But I just think the pressure on them was a lot less than the pressure on Arsenal to go out and do stuff in this window, to do the things that they had. There wasn't like a... One, there clearly was no financial pressure on them. Mm-hmm. They clearly had all the money in the world to spend, one. But two, looking at their position in the league table, looking at what just happened last season, I just think they had more freedom to do what they wanted. In regards to Arsenal, who had to like spend, you know, a little bit more on Zubimendi or a little bit more on these like supplementary players, like a backup goalie, like a Mascara, because we just had holes to fill. But going back to the Isaac point or the Eze point, whatever, I do think that like, I think Rodrigo will go too. And I think the two dominoes to fall are the Isaac and the Rodrigo now. And they might stay straight. Like they might not even fall. But I think those are the two pillars that are like deciding like maybe who wins the league, and not just in the Premier League, but wherever they go. Like Rodrigo stays, like I think, and they can integrate him back into the Real Madrid side.
I don't think that'll happen.
I don't think it will either. But
I think Rodrigo goes 100%. No pun intended.
So I think that's a pillar that's like crazy. Like that's like, I don't know. I think it fell off in the past couple of weeks, but that's like such a huge, huge player that I just want to figure out where he goes, and I hope Arsenal go in for him.
I don't think how lenient do you think the Arsenal board will be on spending that money after already spending the money on Gyökeres?
Well, it seems like this Berta guy likes to spend money, and I fucking love it. Like, this is not something that Arsenal fans are used to. Very sparingly with Arsene Wenger, do we ever make a big money signing? And then we get, like, the Rice thing, even with, oh my God. Who was a sporting director?
Edu.
And then, you know, we start to finally get this bit of cash flow when we're back in the Champions League. And now we're spending money on Gyökeres. So I know they wanted to spend excess of $300 million. If Eze's 65 and Rodrigo's like 80, 90, I don't know. You got to be able to cough up a little bit more, especially if we sell Rodrigo or sorry, Trossard or
Rodrigo's
something.
Rodrigo's not 80-90. Rodrigo's more, I think.
Is he though?
Really?
Yeah, he's 120-130.
But he wants to leave. He wants to leave Madrid, and Madrid know that they want to get rid of him.
It is
as
a factor.
Well.
Yeah, that's a good point.
How would you compare Isak's transfer value and Rodrigo's transfer value? If Isak is 150 million, then Rodrigo's near that price too.
I disagree.
But Isak was the best player.
Bro, come on, guys.
It would also be Newcastle selling to a rival
and striker
which
market,
which inflates his price, and striker market, which we've talked about.
Yeah. I think you guys are underestimating Rodrigo's worth.
Tell that to Arsenal board.
No, he has Ballon d'Or potential. I see that.
I'm twerking for him, bro. Like, I want him. But
let's not see the demonstration of that.
Okay. Yeah. But ultimately, I think this Isak thing, like, I know you guys hate when I say Isak.
Yeah,
I'm saying
I saw the comment, Julian.
Yeah, I saw it too.
It pisses me off so much.
But, like, if he goes to Liverpool, like, they're just in the City conversation now. With, like, a little ethically better, but they're in the City conversation, bro.
Which is?
Like, you guys talked about it, like, the Dynasty thing last pod. It's crazy. Like, it's annoying.
It is.
And I hope it blows up in their faces, but holy shit, guys. Like, it's scary out here.
Mm-hmm.
It's scary out here. And then Arteta's going to get shit on for not winning the league when fucking Liverpool just signed the three best players in the transfer window.
That's what I'm saying, dude. Like, your season is make or break right now. And I need to see something serious from Arsenal right now.
So what does that entail? I think we've done pretty well in the transfer window so far. What's that last thing?
I have. I think it has to be Eze or Rodrigo.
Yeah.
It probably will be. But I also see you guys like really stretching this and then signing like fucking...
Keep him out of the way.
No, we're going to sign like Madueke is a great left winger, guys. Yeah. Bro, I don't know about you guys. Like, I know you really want Rodrigo, but I'm so excited about him.
Yeah, you've been like,
I spit everywhere. He's prem. Go, you know what? You go ahead. That's really rude of me.
Can we say, like, can we acknowledge the elephant in the room?
Mm.
There's been no reliable links. Arsenal to Rodrigo.
Rodrigo, sorry.
Yeah.
With Eze and Arsenal, there's Fab
it's
updates every day.
Stuff.
Yeah. It's concrete stuff.
But
you're like...
Rodrigo's just speculation.
Like, we're just talking...
It's just Arsenal fan links.
Yeah, he's not linked to anyone.
He's not linked to anyone.
Is the Rodrigo rumors in the room with us?
The Rodrigo rumors
He is.
They're knocking
Liverpool
on the door.
Liverpool are monitoring Rodrigo's situation.
Oh, we saw that last... That was actually something from Fab that we saw last week.
Exactly.
We have not seen anything like that between Rodrigo and Arsenal. What's the source?
Madrid Universal. Breaking. Rodrigo started talks with Tottenham. What the fuck? It's followed by Fab. What are we doing?
Fab follows
3,000 people.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I swear I saw something. I think we need
definitely like
TV.
Arsenal.
No, you said
Rodrigo.
It was like it was like some Arsenal source, and he's like, "What? No, he's actually."
If it was Hand of Arsenal,
it
maybe.
Was Hand of Arsenal. You're like, "What? It's actually a really good source."
Hand of Arsenal is actually a great source.
Get the fuck out of here!
No, it is, bro. I swear to God, bro.
Hand of Arsenal.
Yeah.
That's a good source.
Oh my God, he changed it to Hand of Berta. That's so funny.
It literally is a good source.
No, it's a really good source.
It's a really
good source. Hold on. Let me search Rodrigo and Hand of Arsenal and then we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. No results.
Oh, he deleted it. Okay.
Anyway, I don't know. Look, the thing is with Eze is I think his ceiling is just not that high. And I think I could see him coming into this team and being marginally better than a Martinelli, marginally better than Trossard at his prime.
It's not hard being marginally better
than
Martinelli.
And I want someone like this is the thing. There's a difference between Eze and Isak. There's a difference between Eze and Wirtz. And I think Rodrigo is in that Isak Wirtz conversation.
Yes.
So if Liverpool are signing two world-class players, why can't we do the exact same thing?
That's what you should be thinking, but that's not how your board is thinking because you guys are
well,
not
maybe,
linked to Rodrigo.
Maybe.
Right now.
You don't know.
Well, no, they see Eze as that kind of player, but he's not that kind of player.
Blake, I think if you were to give everybody in the Arsenal fan base a choice between Eze and Rodrigo, they would pick Rodrigo, no doubt. But I think the fact that we do have concrete links with Eze is a very exciting thing, and that's what we talk about. And
fair.
I think you put him in an Arsenal. Yet again, I come back to this argument. Almost every time you take a really good player in a so-so team like Crystal Palace and you put that really good player in a really good team like Arsenal, and not only did he have a good amount of goal involvement, all that bullshit. Last season it was good. Like I said, you put him in a really good team this time. Mm. He's only going to get better from here. I mean, he's 27. I still can't get over it. He's 27. 28, fair. I thought.
Well, anyways.
It doesn't matter. But still, I'm very excited by it. I really hope it happens. What do you have?
I have the tweet. The tweet that you found. July 5th, Hand of Arsenal tweeted. Intermediaries.
Mm-hmm.
That's a tough word, guys. With direct mandate from Saudi clubs have been told in no uncertain terms that Rodrigo's preference is to move to the Premier League, with Arsenal as his absolute priority in case a deal can be struck with Real Madrid.
Okay, but that's people nothing. In that's Saudi. A nothing Those burger. Are people in Saudi.
And then he didn't that. And then he didn't source any link. He just put hashtag hand of arsenic.
Arsenic? What?
Arsenic. Not Arsenal. Arsenic.
Oh. I'm telling you though, Hand of Arsenal is actually like, he's been my go-to source for everything, and he's gotten pretty much everything right. So he may not have gotten that one right, but he's like really good. I promise. But we can move on.
Yeah, but it's different saying like, oh, Saliba's in talks for a new contract. You know, Tomiyasu's probably going to leave.
I mean,
we're going to sign Rodrigo for 100 plus million pounds. There's a big difference.
Also just want us to sign him. I never said we were going to. I just want us to sign him.
I know. Like, but I'm just saying, like, we've given it like so much spotlight on this podcast when it's kind of been wide of the mark.
From minute one. He wants to leave, and Arsenal are in a prime position for a left winger. There's no other really amazing club besides Liverpool now, who just sold their left winger to sign a left winger.
Yeah. You know, it'd be like if I came on here and talked every second about us signing Benjamin Sesko. Until I see concrete links that there's interest from his side and genuine try from us, then I'm not going to be obsessing over Benjamin Sesko.
Okay.
And that's because we work different.
Seems like you have a superiority complex in that sense, but it's fine.
No.
I'm just excited.
No. You're allowed to be excited.
But anyway, we can move on. It's fine.
Where shall we go?
Liga.
What? Speaking of players wanting out.
Speaking of players.
Yeah, go.
Talking about Donnarumma.
I mean, it was the contract, the player in our team that was most uncertain going into next season. Donnarumma is looking like he's leaving PSG because he is simply asking for too much money. His camp are requesting, I think it's 18 million around there gross per year, which would propel him to the number one paid player in PSG. And PSG lately have kind of been a little bit more conservative in giving out their salaries. They kind of want to bring down the salary costs. They want to bring down the payrolls a little bit, even though they can afford it. It's just they want to bring a more conservative approach to this. So they are simply just not accepting Donnarumma's camp's wages, what they're asking for. So it's looking like Donnarumma's going to leave Paris and Lucas Chevalier is going to come in.
Interesting.
He's
so Saudi-ridden.
Who, Donnarumma?
He wants 350, almost 350,000, whatever the currency is, a week.
He wants around 345 mil, 345K a week. That's what Dembele is earning right now. And he's our top earning player. Ballon d'Or winner, by the way.
When did he sign that contract?
When did Dembele sign that contract?
Yeah.
August 12th, 2023.
2 years ago?
When Dembele revisits his contract...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, if Dembele signed that contract 2 years ago, when he wasn't regarded nearly as much as he was today, then I think Donnarumma right now has a right to ask for that much.
Well, it just depends. This is a big if, a massive if. But if PSG get eliminated to Liverpool in the Champions League in those shootouts, does Donnarumma have the right to ask for this kind of money?
No,
he doesn't. Just because
and you're probably okay with selling him, or you're not. You're not.
And if you ask a lot of PSG fans after that. Round of 16 where we lose if we get eliminated to Liverpool, I'm sure the majority of them would say goodbye.
Yeah,
let's get
not,
a new
goalkeeper. Happened,
but just because of those insane 6 months, like ridiculous 6 months, by the way, probably the best peak I've seen in a long time in a goalkeeper, now he's asking for that money. Let's not forget what happened before. Let's not forget all the mistakes and everything that Donnarumma has done in the Champions League with this club. He's a goalkeeping legend in PSG now. 100% because of this season. I've said this before, any player in that 11 is a PSG legend now because they've won them their first Champions League.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. But let's not forget what happened before. Let's not forget against Real Madrid. Let's not forget against Bayern. Let's not forget in the prior years when he was at the crime scene of our Champions League exits. I think it's very hard for a goalkeeper to maintain this level of consistency throughout his entire career. Sure, he's only 26. That's very young for a goalkeeper. But who's the most consistent keeper we've ever seen? Manuel Neuer, Gianluigi Buffon.
Sure.
Like, these are rare cases of straight consistency throughout their entire seasons where they've also been spared with injuries. It's very rare for this to happen, and I don't think we should be gambling on that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, mid-season, you guys paused contract talks in the hopes that Donnarumma would step up his performances and earn that contract.
Yeah.
And he's earned that contract.
And he has, but...
But he wasn't asking for that much?
I don't think he was asking for that much. And it's just wait... Like, think about this. He would be the top-earning PSG player.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But it's also... He would also be the most recent contract sign. If Vitinha or Dembele signed a contract right now, they could demand more than that.
Well, Kvaratskhelia is the most recent PSG signing.
Oh, that's true, actually.
And he signed... He's the second top earner in PSG.
But I mean, like, he's... Sorry. If he signed his contract right now, he'd be the most recent. That's what I mean.
Okay.
So, like, if Dembele was in contract talks right now, how much would he be asking for? Probably more than this. So if you think about what every player's worth right now... It probably makes sense on the totem pole.
But also, to add to that point, Hakimi just signed a contract extension where the PSG board also brought this kind of conservative approach to it. They didn't want to go too high, and they settled on, 250K a week, which is 13 million a year.
Mm. He just signed a contract
in February.
Oh, fair enough then.
To me, Hakimi is worth much more than Donnarumma.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I kind of get what you're saying.
You are right. We can't forget about the prior years. It could have been, he could have pulled a Luke Shaw where it's just contract year. Let me step my game up. Let me make sure I get my money's worth. And then once I get that money, I can slack off a little bit. That is true. That's a slippery slope. So maybe signing a young Lucas Chevalier would be a good idea.
I think it is. If we look at it from a Lucas Chevalier standpoint, it's just positives all the way around. He's not going to ask for a crazy salary. He's probably the second best keeper in Liga after Donnarumma.
And you think he's ready?
And I think he is ready, and he can have ambitions to be the starter goalkeeper for the French national team over Mike Maignan. Yeah. I've seen great things from this guy, and I've talked about him on the pod in previous episodes. Yeah. I remember underrated 11, I think I put him in there. This is a very good goalkeeper that can perform at the highest level. And I don't think it's that big of a... Obviously, he won't be insane right away, and I'll be pleasantly surprised if he is. But it's the difference in level with Donnarumma isn't massive. Mm. That's why I'm willing to let Donnarumma go, especially for the wages that he's asking for, and bring in a Lucas Chevalier for the future.
Okay. I mean, fair. Again, it's evaluating your losses. And if the gains are... close to what you're going to give up, if that's what you're saying, then I mean, you gotta go for it. And again, if you do breed this culture of just giving into players and their contracts, like it's not a good habit to get into.
Yeah.
And it causes problems. It's caused problems at United. It's caused problems at, I don't know, a bunch of different clubs. I mean, United is just the first thing I came to my head, but it's true.
You're right. So
like, again, you did everything. You won you everything now. Thank you and goodbye.
Yeah. I mean, there's no denying that he's probably a PSG legend.
It's all love.
The only thing that bothers me, and this is purely, it's stupid, but is that we won't have the biggest trophy presentation in the history with the Ballon d'Or at the Parc des Princes, Golden Boy, best keeper, best manager probably.
And
the best team.
The
you know what I mean? Like everybody, like PSG are going to rack up all the individual trophies this season.
Yeah,
if Donnarumma is in there, then we'll be missing that. Yeah. That best keeper trophy ceremony.
That's unfortunate. If you're done, I want to talk about another contract situation now, and that is the Morgan Gibbs-White situation.
Yes.
He's just signed a new contract at Nottingham Forest. Was obviously, here we go, about to go to Tottenham. But Mr. Marinakis, running his club like a dictator, it seems, made him sign a new deal. Did an interview.
Why are you laughing at your own joke?
I love that.
Okay, I didn't look at you. All I heard is Judy's go... Sorry.
Do you guys see the interview that Gibbs-White did?
Oh my god, it was scary, bro. I was scared for him, bro.
You just know behind that camera, it's Marinakis going.
I know, bro.
Yeah, it is. It is kind of crazy. I know there's the whole lawsuit going on and everything, but I mean, clearly, he was sold a project, or threatened, or one of those. But somehow, some way, he was convinced to stay at Forest, and they'll be a much better team this season because of it.
Question.
Go on.
Are, invisible release clauses, like, legal? Is that like something that can happen?
What do you mean?
Because I think there needs to be an agreed upon release clause when the player signs a contract.
So that was the thing. That was the whole thing. Like
with
the Morgan Gibbs-White situation, there was like a release clause that wasn't supposed to be known that apparently they thought Tottenham knew. Did you guys hear that or no?
So the
from my information, what I think, There was a release clause that was in the contract of Morgan Gibbs-White, but only like the club knew about it.
Yeah.
It wasn't public knowledge for the rest of the world.
So the hope was that like a City or a Tottenham would bid like 70 mil.
Yeah.
And then they would have to accept it.
Yeah. But then like they bid right on the money. That's what Tottenham did.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, so you knew what it was. That's tampering, blah, blah, blah. I'm suing you.
What's the point in having a release clause to make it not?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
The player can ask for a release clause.
But then the player would want that release clause to be known to other clubs. So if he does want to leave, they know how much to pay.
So that's probably what they negotiated.
Is that even legal?
Forrest didn't want a release clause. Gibbs-White wanted a release clause.
Like, okay, we'll have a release clause, but no one knows about it.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, if we get like an 80 million pound bid from like a City or something.
He definitely was twerking for Spurs and told them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe. But is that even legal?
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So I don't know how that'll play out. Maybe the lawsuit will be dropped now. This situation isn't really happening.
Yeah, probably.
I guess Forests are just sneaky, you could say.
Where was Gibbs-White before Nottingham?
Wolves.
Wolves.
Right.
Wolves.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Marinakis has always been sneaky.
Look at him, man.
He's like a...
Cosman.
You know, he's like... I haven't looked into it, but he is like a criminal.
Oh.
Like, aren't they all? Actually. What's his name?
Marinakis. I know he had his relationships with the old Lyon owner, John Texter, who also owns Botafogo.
Marinakis' son posted the contract announcement on his Instagram story and captioned it with plot twist.
Since he was linked to the Nor 1 drug case involving a drug shipment.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
That is wild.
Yeah, this is.
That is wild.
Match fixing.
Yes. Oh, okay. Lovely.
Nice.
All the referee interference. Well, we knew that.
All right. Luis Diaz, we move on.
Pois Piaz, dude.
Yeah.
Good move for Bayern.
Great move for Bayern. I mean, I think.
Expensive,
though. I think any left wing signing for Bayern would have been a massive upgrade on Leroy Sané. Let's be honest.
Yeah. We were linked with him, guys.
Oh,
Jesus, man.
Leroy Sané? Yeah. You'll sign him this window still.
Stop.
Imagine.
I would not put
the Eze and Rodrigo deals fall apart, or Rodrigo in quotation deal falls apart.
Who's the one that went to Turkey?
Actually, no, he went to Turkey. Yeah, he went to Galatasaray.
Who did?
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he did.
Who did?
Leroy Sané's on like 15 million.
Oh yeah,
Galatasaray. Yeah.
You know what? I've heard. I don't know. I saw like a TikTok or something, and it was like, oh, you know, Luis Diaz, you will be forgotten. I was like, will you? He was kind of good. He was a solid player.
He was really solid.
Like. He always scored against Arsenal.
His best time was when he first came to the Prem.
Yeah.
That's 6 months in 21-22. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was really good. And then he's had like some moments, but he was always like kind of here and there. Wasn't consistent in the lineup.
Yeah. 75 million is a lot for this player, but.
Yeah, Liverpool made a good profit here.
Yeah, which again, annoying as poo, but really good player, solid player. Again, in the Bayern system that like seem to get the best out of their wingers if they aren't Leroy Sané. You know what I mean? Okay.
Yeah,
Gnabry fell out and went there and did great. Yeah. Obviously, like we're not talking about Robin and Ribery level here, but like if there's a player who I think can continue
Kingsley
to
Coman.
Form, Coleman has always been good for Bayern. Like I don't know.
What are other dead wingers that you could sign last minute? I don't know.
Heung-min Son.
I would actually take that guy.
No, oh my god,
I would take that.
Bro, so dumb to take that.
Son is not that bad. He's not that bad.
He's linked with LAFC because he's washed.
Bro,
he's linked
with LAFC.
Yes, players have bad seasons as they get older because they get worse.
AKA not.
And that's clear as day right now.
I'm defending a Tottenham player. Like I just don't think he's that bad, guys.
Everybody loves Son.
7 goals, 9 assists, man. Like that's not bad.
God.
Anyway,
his fans.
If that's what you're saying. Come August 31st, then I pity you.
I don't want him on our, like, I don't want him to be signed, but he's not terrible.
Yeah.
He's going to do so good for jersey sales, though, if we do get him. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, true.
He's have a whole fan base coming.
Talk about a Judas. Jesus.
Oh,
yeah, that'd be
a Judas?
Yeah.
Oh, that's just true.
Yeah.
But I don't think Spurs fans would be that pissed just because it's like,
yeah,
whatever, loyalty doesn't exist. Like, he's old, whatever. It's not like he's coming in his prime. Anyways, what other transfer situations do we have to talk about, boys?
You tell me. Oh,
I feel like that's it.
Really anything. Granit Xhaka to Sunderland?
Hey, I'm a Sunderland fan this season, let me just
say. I think you're about Sunderland to talk more about that.
Yeah, and I will talk more about that in this segment for sure. But I was debating Leeds and Sunderland. Leeds is obviously my usual Premier League team.
Oh, right. It's been a year off, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's 2 years. They've been gone 2 years. Yeah. So it's been hard following them in the championship. I think I'm on the Sunderland train now.
Mm. Good.
Obviously, I don't care about supporting a team in the Prem.
I'm not feeling the Xhaka train. Huh? I love Xhaka.
Good.
Granted.
Some other transfer news. Xavi Simmons linked to Chelsea. That's probably going to happen. God, they're also Chelsea. Linked to your favorite. Who? Hato.
Oh, Hato? Yeah.
Yeah. It seems like they're going to get it done. Personal terms have been agreed, apparently.
And Chelsea can sign everyone.
Call me a visionary, lads.
James Trafford, back to City.
Back to City. Called that, too.
That's a terrible transfer. They sold him for 14. They bought him back for 24. Awful business.
Yeah, they don't care, though.
24?
That's fine.
Didn't they buy him for more?
Or 30.
No.
I mean, it's not fine. It's a terrible financial.
No, but they don't care, though.
It's not terrible financial. I know. No, it is.
Because he wouldn't be James Trafford if he didn't leave for Burnley.
I mean,
I think James Trafford
should. You know what I hate, though? Why can we not just acknowledge when it's just not good business? It's just not good business.
It's fine business.
No, it's not.
Overall, they signed one of the best young keepers in the world for a net £25 million.
Yeah, that they could have sent on loan and not given up.
He wouldn't have played.
He wouldn't have gone that be as good.
It wouldn't have worked.
Okay, thank you.
I do see where you're coming from, but like, do you think City care?
They probably don't, but I just like to point out things.
I feel like you should have gone to a lower level club in the Prem and become like.
You don't think James Trafford's all that?
Yeah. Dude, do you know what he did in Burnley? He didn't concede a goal at Burnley for fucking months.
Yeah.
They had, what's his name? JJ Watt was tweeting every game being like, oh my God, if James Trafford's gone another game without conceding goal, I might have to retire. Yeah, for the NFL.
It looked like it was happening too.
It was close, bro. It was close. Crazy. He was looking at houses in Cincinnati, I think. Yeah. Like, I swear to God, like I was following up on it. But
I think he's gonna be amazing.
He's gonna be really good.
So what happens with Ederson?
Stockton's brother.
I think Ederson goes now to
and Ortega
Saudi or somewhere.
No,
Ortega stays as
you
got
to keep one. Yeah,
I think you sell Ederson. Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably Saudi.
Ederson's,
I say Saudi.
Ederson's bad anyway.
Speaking of Saudi, fucking snake. João Felix was linked to going back to Benfica, the club that made him. Seemed like he wanted to do it, but then Saudi came calling.
The club that's so close to your heart.
Took the money. Mercenary.
Yeah, make you really sad? You were the only person.
Oh, that was...
Mercenary? How is he a mercenary?
Because he's going for the money.
Okay.
Bro.
That's what a mercenary is. What?
I mean, it's not like he promised you guys to come back.
Yeah.
No, he didn't promise us, but it's like, bro, he was linked with us. You would have thought that he wanted the move because he's a boyhood Benfica fan. He wanted to regain his form, go back to where he was happiest in his career. And he wouldn't be the mercenary that he's been labeled as. But he's proving everybody right. And he's a fucking mercenary. Going to Saudi, killing his career, and calling it quits.
His career has
instead
been
of
dead.
Taking the hard route and trying to revive it at Benfica. And we fucking... We would have loved a little João Felix revival at Benfica, too.
Yeah. But then he would have gone back to Europe and flopped again.
Yeah.
Well, he should have stayed at Benfica then.
He was terrible for Chelsea, yeah?
He was terrible.
I think his Chelsea stint wasn't his worst.
He's been,
yeah, I know.
He's been at situation. Atleti was kind of the wrong situation. Chelsea was kind of a wrong situation. And then where'd he go after that?
Yeah, it was Atleti. And then what was after? Barca. Yeah,
Barca. He started well at, but kind of like here and there. And then Chelsea again. He just has no.
I feel like Atletico, like, are never going to spend that type
he's
of money
had,
again.
He's been.
Look at that situation.
Like, you could be so unlucky as a footballer if you go. Obviously, you need to make your own luck, obviously. But when you go to these terrible situations and not getting playing time and playing in bad systems, like under Diego Simeone there, then, like, you're fucked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the worst thing to do after that is fucking go to Saudi. So, whatever. Mm. I think this is a great move for Al Nassr, whatever.
Judas.
Up with Ronaldo, whatever. Whatever. Like... I really want him at Benfica, but that's not happening. Whatever.
It's going to be okay. I promise.
It'll be okay.
Yeah.
Richard Rios looks good, guys.
Yeah?
Yeah.
He made his debut.
Over under seven Benfica games Julian watches this season.
Over under. The fuck?
Under.
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 Over.
He'll claim the over. He will.
He will.
He will.
And he'll probably say it's over by the end of the season.
And then we'll ask him to name the 11, and he'll have it studied in his head. But it'll be
on. Oh, we know.
Fuck out of here, bro. Fuck out of here, bro.
All right. I'm actually scared because I might start working on Saturday, so I'm low-key scared.
Oh, yeah?
I might miss some Arsenal games.
That's not good.
But it's okay. That's okay.
All right, let's move on to players that we are buying stocks in this summer. We've all compiled a list of guys that we think in 12 months' time we're going to be like, wow, what an improvement we've seen from them.
And this segment was mostly inspired by that very, very good performance of Max Delman against Newcastle. That's what sparked the idea.
Who's Max Delman, guys?
Who is Max
Spoiler! Delman? Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Okay, so we want to go like...
We'll do the L shape.
Okay. Okay. So right. Do you want to just go one player at a time?
Yeah, let's do one player at a time.
So I do have to clarify.
Should we give you guys, should we give a ranking?
I don't have one.
We can have is a good pick, bad pick?
Is it a good pick?
Good pick, bad pick.
How are you evaluating the stock?
Say like how much of the stock are you buying?
Okay.
Type of thing.
Okay. Oh. Okay. I don't mind that.
You're trying to sell the stock to us.
What do you mean how much of the stock we're buying? That's weird.
No. You could say like, okay, I'm buying stock.
Oh, how much?
And then you could, like, you're trying to sell it to the others and be like, yeah, I'll pass on that one.
Right, okay.
All right, so how about you start us off?
I would love to, Julian. Thank you very much.
I'll piggyback off of you because I have Dowman too, but I'll piggyback.
Oh, I was going to put Dowman last just because
We just talked about him.
I'm in. On my list. Sorry. What? I have... Max Delman, a 15-year-old who is... He's 15. Yeah. He was born in 2010, brother.
Oh, my God.
I remember that World Cup like it was yesterday. And that brother remembers nothing.
You remember the World Cup? Oh, I guess you were a year older. But
I remember. I remember watching the final.
I remember.
When you were six?
Yeah.
I was in France.
I have no memories of when I was six, guys.
Okay.
I have a couple.
All right. Sorry. Sorry to get off topic. Max Delman, he looks to be next up. He's 15. We've seen, when you know that you're seeing a 15-year-old's 30-minute clip, 30-minute comp of him.
It wasn't a 30-minute comp. It was a two-minute comp.
Two-minute comp of 30 minutes.
You're really not doing a good job at telling you this player. I'm out.
It's gonna be a tough clip.
Wait, I'm trying to, why am I? Anyways.
Yeah.
I like him. Blake, do you like him? I'm going to buy stock. The only gripe I have is that, yes, he's amazing, but he's 15. Like, we need to, like, ease him in. It's like melting butter on the lowest heat. Like, you need to just slow. You know what I mean? We can't just throw him in, like, you know.
So, in 12 months' time, do you think he's going to be, like, playing games for Arsenal?
That was class.
No, so I would like to see him play cup games this year.
Yeah,
how about that?
Arteta said, like at the beginning of the summer, that Dalman's not going out alone because they want him in the squad. And
I can imagine Mikel just.
Oh, yeah. Just saying. Yeah, yeah, so no, he won- not, yeah. So he has been in Arteta's mind for a while now. He hasn't just been a guy who they threw in preseason to try and figure out if he's good or not. He's been someone who's been on the radar of Mikel Arteta.
Yeah.
He's creative. He's direct. The only thing that I struggle to get behind, and that's the same thing with Wijnaldum, is he doesn't have a position, really. He's a midfielder, attacking midfielder, but can kind of play on the wing. We need to figure that out because our system doesn't really have a out-and-out attacking midfielder. It's like a bit of a pivot that can go forward and back. But, dude, he's smart. He's so creative. He's brave. He'll take on defenders. Look, I got to see more of him. But if you want a guy to get excited about, to, you know, one of those players that you can watch and you will be entertained even if they don't score, which, again, is something that we've talked about a lot on this podcast, the Lamine Yamal effect, the whatever. He's not Lamine Yamal.
Yeah.
But I'm saying if you want one of those guys who can, you know, have that essence of watchability and enjoyability, he's the guy.
How was that cameo? Tell me about it.
Look, the way that you sold me this stock is you did good. But I don't think I'll be investing this season. I don't think I'm buying the Max Delman
stock. Talk to me in a year.
That's the problem. For me, the problem is that we're looking to invest in this stock in a year.
Yeah.
In a year... I don't think he'll have many minutes in the Premier League. It'll mostly just be cup performances. Now, he can play very well in those cup performances. We saw how Nwaneri played in the cup against Preston, notably.
Nwaneri is 17 now?
So he's 18. No, he's 18.
Oh, so he's 3 years older than Diamond.
Maybe if you sold me an Wineri last year, or if you sell me an Wineri this year, I might purchase.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But look, this is a 15-year-old. Mm. He will not get very many minutes. Mm. If you want to sell me this stock for 5 years' time, then I'm all
That's
in.
That's fair. That's fair.
But for next year, I don't know. I don't know if he'll get minutes. I don't know if he'll get the playing time.
Fair. But and you see it in there.
I definitely see it in there. When I saw that comp, I stood up and started clapping.
Yeah.
That's a comp.
Kids in wheelchairs were standing up and clapping for that performance.
Well, we can move on.
All right. Oh, sorry. All right. My first stock is a very popular one.
Okay.
I feel like, you know, he's been really on the rise. A Palantir, you could say.
Okay.
A Palantir?
He doesn't know.
Is that like a football manager thing?
No, no.
It's a stock. Oh, God.
It's a real stock.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a company.
It's okay.
It's okay. Carlos Baleva.
Okay.
Okay.
This is going to be the next big money departure from Brighton, I feel.
Yeah.
And the more I look into him, dare I say, when I see him on the ball, see how press resistant he is, see how good of a ball carrier he is, I see glimpses of a Paul Labile. Mm. I see glimpses of a Paul Pogba. I see...
What did you call him?
Paul Labile.
Paul Labile.
Is that his gubby or something? Middle name?
Labile's middle name. It's like Lutin.
Elite ball carrier, really good as like a progressive passer, and he's getting more comfortable with like the physicality of the Premier League. He's going to be really good in tackle. I think this season is breakout, and next summer... Chelsea drop 130 mil on him. I don't know.
Probably.
You know?
We saw what he did this season already.
He was really good.
He was really good so this season. Good. I think he takes an even bigger step.
Cameroonian's finest.
If he takes
finest.
An even bigger step, then that's scary for the league. That's scary for Europe.
I had a couple stocks in my portfolio already, mm-hmm. but I'm going to buy up a couple more.
Okay.
Hmm.
I'm in.
Yeah.
We're in?
Why not? I'm in I feel sure. like you were in already.
I was in already.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a guy I looked Brent at my
youngster,
list.
Youngster. It's just...
Brent Youngster. Already. Just written in the stars. Right?
Yeah. I'm tentatively in. I'm tentatively in. I want to see the rest of. I only got so much money to spend around.
Okay,
so
okay.
I want to see what. But that's a good pick.
You give me your pick.
Well, mine was Dalman, so I can.
I'll give me another pick,
and then we'll. Yeah.
Okay, I'll give you another pick. Okay, I'm gonna go on a different train because I think you guys are gonna be like, "What the fuck are you saying?"
Okay,
but you know who you should be buying stocks in right now? Who's someone who will already make you money if you buy stocks because he's done it before? Is Ollie Watkins.
Okay.
Because it seems like everyone wanted Ollie Watkins last summer. Every club was in for a striker. Well, not every, well, okay, sure. But they wanted him. And then, you know how many goals he scored last season? 16. Sure, he didn't have the 13 assists to go along with it for like the season before. But this is still one of the best strikers in the Premier League, in the best league in the world, scoring 15-plus goals year in, year out. Sure. And somehow he's just kind of fallen off and is not a player that is talked about.
Yep.
Arsenal were looking to maybe sign him if they didn't get Gyökeres, and he was looked at as like a piece of shit on the ground that a random dog took. But this guy, weird segue,
yeah, okay.
But this guy is like Ollie Watkins. I don't have to explain to you how good he is.
Yeah.
He's done it for England at times. He's done it for Villa. He's done it in big moments. Buy Ollie Watkins stock. He might have a 20-goal season incoming.
Looking at his transfer market, his market value, it's gone down from May 27, 2024. It was at $65 million. Now it's at $40 million. So maybe a prime buying opportunity. I do like
high
where
low,
you're coming
sell
from
high.
With that.
You see what I mean?
I do like where you're coming from. With
you
that.
Know what I mean?
It seems as though a lot of people have forgotten about Ollie Watkins.
That's what I'm saying, bro.
Maybe not forgotten, but not talked about enough.
Yeah.
You know who could potentially invest in the Ollie Watkins stock? It's Man United.
Yeah, absolutely.
Potench. Yeah.
Like, respectfully, if you want instant impact, Ollie Watkins is going to score you more goals than Benjamin Sesko in your first season, 100%. Bookmark it, save it, whatever.
Yeah. Could see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I see it. Okay. I see it. I just don't know how I'd feel about signing a 29-year-old.
Right.
But still.
But Anto did say we could say like, who doesn't have
but this is a short-term pick.
Yeah, exactly.
This is, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
I have a very short-term pick on my list. Mm. It'll be the one after this. But first, I have a Sunderland player. I couldn't not include at least one Sunderland player in here because I think their business this season is very good. And they're buying the penny stocks. And so will I. And it's going to be Chemsdin Talbi from Club Bruges. Yeah, we saw the performances against Aston Villa in the Champions League and beyond that in the league phase. A very, very electric winger that can take his mount on and a very creative winger as well. It's not just the skills, it's also the passes that he finds. And alongside Dingra on the other wing and the midfielders that Sunderland are bringing in, I think this guy can have a true breakout season. Chemsdin Talbi, remember the name. This might be like a... This is very early to say this. This might be like a Riyad Mahrez from Leicester City type of move.
Mm.
I like that.
I do see it as that.
Okay.
You know what? I'm investing in him, not because I trust him, because I trust you.
Thank you.
Anton.
Thank you.
There you go.
That's funny.
Thank you.
So I just declare, along with Dauman, the four of the other five players I have are players that are
all Arsenal.
No. They're young, and they, when I say buy stocks in them, I mean they're ones to watch. It's more for me, I went more of like the Leonard's little boy route, where it's just like look out for them in the future. Yep. So you don't have to do whatever you want. I just
the penny thought stocks. I'd do little, Leonard's yeah, little penny, boy is actually stocks. Like the best inside joke of this podcast, by the way.
So for my second one, I'd like to go for a center midfielder playing for Crystal Palace. His name is Hindolo Mustafa.
So hey, I got that. You will have to sell me this very.
I would love to. No. I would love to.
Please.
So he's 19 years old. He hails from the lovely country of Sierra Leone. Now, 19 years old, he's already scored for the Sierra Leone national
team. Wait, what's his name?
Hindolo. Hindolo.
Hindolo.
Yeah.
Should I know this?
No. This is all these guys are from Premier, the second tier of Premier
League. His birthday today, actually.
Yeah.
PL2.
Yeah, PL2. Thank you. He's last season in Prem 2, he scored 5 goals outside the box. That's 2 more than anybody else in the league. He had a 17 goal contributions, and he had the most dribbles completed. Now, why I like him is because we do have a lot of these cases where Crystal Palace bringing up these people you've never really heard of to go on and perform. And I think especially at the center mid position, when you have guys like Eze who could potentially be leaving, that opens up a space to bring in a new rising star. And I really, and you know, and he's touted as one of the best players in Premier League too. I really like him. He's got a great name. He plays for a great team that are good at developing young talent. So I would just like to see him in the future in that midfield along with the other Crystal Palace players. And Crystal Palace is a likable team. Seems like a nice bloke. Why not? I would throw in a few dollars and hopefully it turns into Bitcoin someday.
I'm not looking at the name.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. You know, you did a good job selling it.
Yeah.
I want to hear your thoughts.
It says he's a right winger.
Yeah, but I don't. It says position M. I don't know why it says. Yeah, I know, but it says his position is M.
Fair enough.
Why not?
That's fair.
Okay.
Yeah. Look, he scored 2 goals against Chelsea's U21 team.
You want to hear my thoughts?
Yeah.
On Mustafa?
Yeah.
I have no thoughts.
Thank you.
You did a good job. I mean,
no, it was good. Good sell.
I can't see if Eze leaves.
I'll buy a couple.
You know, because there is always like an injury or whatever, and then
you
need someone to be, you know, step up from the youth academy. This guy seems
but there's also winger depth in that team though. There's Daichi Kamada, he can play winger. There's
he can play winger.
I mean, I'm thinking for Oliver Glasner, will he prioritize a Daichi Kamada who can play left wing or a Mustafa who is not proven in that position in the Premier League?
I would rather do the Mustafa. I don't rate Kamada. If I'm honest.
Okay, you're harsh on Kamada. First of all,
you're being very harsh.
Yet again, I'm not saying I'm not trying to sell you stocks. I'm telling you what to look out for in a few years, which I understand when it's not going along with the video.
No, it's a great pick. Look, when you told me that you did some homework before recording, I was not expecting this type of homework.
Well, there's more where it came from.
Okay.
You said very harsh on Daichi Kamada. He has a solid 0 goals, 0 assists.
His first half of the season was very tough. The first half of the season was very tough. The second half was much better.
As an attacking
mid. We mustn't forget it's been raining.
All right.
Go ahead. So I did go for a couple of Leonard's little boys, and I'll get onto those.
Yeah.
But
get onto them.
But I have some higher value stocks first. So you're going to have to, you know, per stock, you're going to have to invest a little more capital in these. But rest assured that these prices will rise. The first one I have here is Arda Güler.
Okay.
Now this maybe is a little mid-tier priced, but he's going to be a superstar. I'm telling you, we've talked about this before, how he's going to explode under Xabi Alonso. I think he's perfect for Xabi Alonso's system. He's the Wirtz of the Xabi Alonso system. And I think in a year's time, what's his transfer value now?
It's like, what, 65, 70 probably? Maybe even more?
130 by next year.
45.
Buy low, gentlemen.
Okay. I see where you're coming from.
I mean, from what we saw at the Club World Cup.
The stock sells itself.
From what we saw at the Club World Cup, yes.
But, you know, but again, will he be solidified in a starting spot or even just get game time?
I think so.
Hopefully, but that's still something I need to consider when I'm buying this stock.
I think so.
Yeah. I think from what we saw at the Club World Cup, Xabi Alonso wants to make this guy a key piece in his midfield.
And it's not like he was a key piece in the midfield in the Club World Cup and then just didn't really perform.
He played very, very well.
Xabi Alonso has no reason to drop Arda Güler.
Okay.
He doesn't. He was probably one of the best players at the Club World Cup.
I might grab a few.
Yeah, I'm
You're loading the boat?
I'm hoarding. I've been hoarding.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I'll do my, should I do my Sunderland player or my little boy?
Whatever you want.
And if you have any, like, off-the-cuff ones you boys want to bring up,
sure,
throw them.
Then just throw them.
I'll do a Sunderland player, another one. This is someone who actually helped them get into the Premier League and was in their, you know, their championship squad. Enzo Lafi. You like that pick?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I have heard.
You like that?
I love that pick.
Name. Nice, right?
He's from, well, yeah, he said he started there, but he was from Roma. Like, he came on loan from Roma. But he's an interesting guy too. So he can play in the midfield, play on the left side as well. But he's a tricky player, creative, has a lot of different elements to his game. He's also played like deeper and earlier in his career. So very versatile, which bodes well for a team who I think will always need depth. I think coming up into the Premier League, you always need depth. You see players who can play in the big games, and I think he can do that. He's good at controlling the ball in tight spaces. Again, his precision and his stuff in the final third needs work, but Sunderland fans have been very, very happy with him. I was just like looking on Reddit and TikTok and all these things. They loved the signing when he first came in. They made it official in the summer, and they're just happy with what he brought, and I think that he can be a namestay, probably more centrally, but even if he needs to go out on the wing, I think he can be a great player for them. Versatile. Sunderland love him. Yeah. Not much else to say. And he's pretty young still. So
it seems like he was definitely the guy in the Sunderland team in the championship that was connecting, playing the through balls, connecting every player so that they can all play together as a team. He's that guy in the middle that will find a player left, right, center. He's the creative mind of the Sunderland midfield, of the Sunderland team, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm in.
Valid.
I was in before.
Fair.
Yeah, I already have a couple stocks.
Fair.
Yeah. My next one is a much more well-known name to everyone. To some, at some point, one of the best midfielders in the world. It's Paul Pogba.
Ooh.
Whoa, okay.
That's a cool pick.
All right. That stock has crashed over the past
couple years. That stock is at the bottom, the lowest it's ever been. I think his transfer value or his market value is like $5 million.
Wow.
Yeah. For a guy that hasn't played in 3 years, it's very difficult to see the mindset in investing.
Mm.
But let's not forget the quality that Paul Pogba once shown on football pitches. For Juve, even for Man United, it was considered a flop transfer, but the quality remains. The quality is still there.
Yeah.
And I don't want to quote a speed stream right here, but I will. He has ambitions to be starting in the World Cup 2026. So for me, he's going into the season locked in, fully focused on his football.
How old is he now?
How old is he now? It's a great question.
Did you guys see what Speed's pushing 32, dog name I'd say. Is?
What is Speed's dog's name?
I saw his.
Yeah. Can't say it.
He's 32 years old.
32.
That's not even old.
I'm not buying stock.
You're not buying the stock?
I'm in. I'm
shining
on my
Paul Pogba has disappointed me too many times for me to buy.
Yeah, well, I don't think he'll support.
No. It's not biased.
And especially in a league.
He's disappointed everybody. He's disappointed
everybody. I wasn't unbiased.
He's disappointed everybody. At I love United, Paul Pogba when he's at United. That's why I felt disappointed.
Especially playing in a league like Liga, it'll be easier for him to ease his way back into his football, find his steps. The only thing that worries me, and what is a risky pick with this, is the injuries. Not playing professional football for 3 years, and then going right back into it, that might affect your body a little bit. Scared on that front, but I think Paul Pogba will have a great season, and he'll be able to show that in the Champions League as well.
Yeah. I'm not buying that stock, man.
I'm in.
Not buying that stock.
Thank you, Blake.
You're welcome.
You know how good he's gonna have to be to start in the World Cup.
He's gonna have to be very good.
Yeah.
But there's also a factor of Deschamps likes his profile already.
Does he even stay healthy for the season?
No.
That's what I was just mentioning. Maybe not.
No.
There's no way.
But I'm still in. Fair. Maybe 10% of my portfolio in Pogba.
Fair.
10%
portfolio. That's a lot.
Wow.
I'm that high on him.
So next one, bit out there, but I did my research.
No. Go ahead.
Guy named Lewis Orford. Center mid. Stay with me now. Center mid for
Miles,
West Ham.
We're leaving. We're getting further and further.
Let me land.
I just need some water.
Let him land.
Lewis Orford from center mid for West Ham, right? Now, Louis Orford, I like to call him Louis. It's just easier.
You guys are on first name basis?
He's touted to be, West Ham fans see him as the next Declan Rice. And I fully believe that. I stand by it. He's a Romford boy, good Essex boy. And not only has he did he have the most created chances in Prem 2 last season, he also has the most assists, a lot of possession recovery, and he's a good bloke. I really like him.
So the other guy was a good bloke too.
They're all good blokes. That's why I picked them.
Are they even going to be playing for West Ham?
His pronouns are he, but he's going to be playing. He's probably these guys. Well, the other
PL2 guy you
mentioned. Oh, eventually, yeah.
Mustafa.
Yeah, Mustafa. He's going to play. Like I said, I picked these players on a basis that they will be good. I didn't tell you to invest stocks now. I will say in the cup ties, look out for him.
This is my rationale, right? They're what, 19?
Mm-hmm.
If they were 19 and going to be really good in the future, why aren't they playing for the senior teams already?
Because not everyone is like Ethan Wanyeri, or not everyone is like Max Dalman. It takes time sometimes.
Of course. Oh, shit. But like not what? That long.
Dude, what?
I'm not saying he'd be tearing it up for the first team. I'm just saying he wouldn't be. If he was like regarded,
he has appearances for West Ham already.
How many?
Are you sure?
Like 4 or 5?
Oh, he has 2.
He has 2.
Okay.
He has 2 in the Premier League.
So hold on. Let me just get this straight here. I'm on the FOTMOD page. Premier League 2, 2024-2025. Yep. Started 0.
Yeah. But he's made 2 appearances.
No. PL2.
So he didn't even start for.
What?
Well, that's what I'm seeing here.
No. I think PL2 he did.
Okay.
He did
started 19 games, 19 okay. appearances.
My apologies.
This week in there, but.
No worries. I look to these teams that are looking for regens of beloved players, and I see Louis Orford as the next up and coming Declan Rice.
Okay.
So and I think West Ham fans have been left with a sour
generational quote.
They've been left with a very sour taste in their mouths.
The next Todd Cantwell.
Hey, don't mess with Todd Cantwell, bro. That's my
Show
boy.
Some goddamn respect to Todd.
I love Todd Cantwell.
West Ham have been left with a sour taste in their mouth with that missing piece of missing out on Rice, and I think they're there to look to somebody else.
It's been 2 years, bro.
And Louis Orford is next up.
Look at his season shot target.
That's in the Premier League, right? But hey, clip it, bookmark it, retweet it, do whatever you have to do.
So
12 months time,
yeah.
Louis Orford will be making more appearances in the Premier League.
Okay. So how did you make your list, Miles? Just wondering. Like, you went through the PL2 names?
No, there's a lovely website that gave me the top 10 players to look out for in the Prem.
Okay, so you just copy-pasted?
Copy and paste is a strong word.
Joke.
I copy and paste the name, but then I do my own research.
Okay. I'm going to pass on that one, though.
That's fine.
I'm all good.
You keep hating.
Yeah.
Don't know how I would trust Miles as a financial advisor.
Which is funny, because...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Next. No, just move it. Keep going.
Lads, I have a couple of names here. I went over 5. But there are 3 Man United players in here.
Okay.
I don't know if I'll mention all of them, but one of them that I'm feeling the most confident in a stock rise season.
I got you.
My reaction. Yeah.
Actually, there's 2 of them. Will be Aiden Heaven.
Okay. The Arsenal fans aren't too happy with that.
I'm
one.
Out.
So
I'm
we out. Saw glimpses last season, notably against Arsenal, actually, where Aiden Heaven, especially in a back 3, showed great signs of development. He's calm, confident, very strong. Fantastic on the ball, especially in a back 3 that opens him up with the best possibility to develop. And I've liked what I've seen so far. I could have said like Euro or somebody, but their stocks are already high. I wanted to buy a little penny stock here, so that's why Aiden Heaven is on my list.
I would buy the stock just to burn it.
Okay.
Yeah.
See that's not good financial advice. Yeah. It's actually.
Dislike. I don't want other people to get burned by this player because. I don't think it's worth it. So I'm doing them a favor by doing that.
You can say
you're shorting it. You're basically betting on a stock to go down.
I'm doing that. Yeah. That's exactly what I'd be doing.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I will say, from what he's shown so far in the Premier League for Man United, there was that period there where we were saying, is he the best United center back? That's how bad this situation was. And then he got injured. So I do like this pick.
If he can stay healthy, I feel very good about Aiden Heaven.
Mm-hmm. He's a good player. He's a fine player.
Thank you.
It takes a man to admit that.
Could have put Cheeto on here as well. You need a striker. It's getting up there.
I was thinking more Kobbie Mainoo in there. But
yeah,
Kobbie Mainoo, I was thinking as
well. Yeah, that's a good one, actually.
I was thinking a lot of our players because look, I know United are shit, but that's a good place to invest. Only one way to go.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Yeah. There's only one place to go, and that's up for a lot of these guys. Low key, I would also buy stock in Luke Shaw because I think
that World Cup year.
World Cup year, he looks in shape in preseason. Yeah. Is actually going to really apply himself this year.
Fair.
And I'll hate him for it, but go on.
Okay, this guy you probably won't know, but he'll actually play this season, I think. Actually, no, I know he will. It's Francesco Camarda. You guys remember this name?
Yeah, of course we know Camarda.
Ah. Yeah.
To Lecce, right?
Yeah, Lecce. Yeah. So this was the guy, if you guys remember, the guy who scored like 400 goals in the academy for Milan. This is that guy.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's still 17. He's still very young. Going out on loan to Lecce now. What's the best part about this deal for him is that, one, they do have a striker already, but they might play with two strikers, and he'll get game time either way. Still in the Serie A, too. And three is that Lecce actually play, like, good football. They're not, like, a lower-sided team that, like, just sit back. They actually try and play attractive football, meaning he's going to get chances. So if he wants to prove himself, he wants to be in front of goal, Lecce is, like, one of the better teams in the Serie A for him to go for. Yep. He's two-footed, obviously still very raw, but if you want to look at someone who actually might get game time and might get consistent game time in a Serie A team in a top league, I think for Francesco Camarda is the guy you should be buying stock.
Scored a hat-trick in their first preseason game.
Did he?
Granted, it was against, like, a Serie B team or a poor team, but...
But still scored a hat-trick. This is what I'm saying. They make chances.
I like the point that you make with Lecce playing good football. Patrick Dorgu is from Lecce, and that's what kind of brought him up as one of the best prospects out of Serie A. Don't know if he lived up to that potential so far, but...
No.
He's been okay.
We can talk about him.
We can talk about Dorgu later?
No, but about Camarda, you know I've been following him on Instagram since he was 13.
Really?
Yeah, you said that before. Oh. It seems like it's your... you're very proud of him.
I
did the same thing with Youssefou Moukoko.
Okay.
I just unfollowed him last year because that one didn't really pan out. But, like, I used to, like... Because when I... Granted, this was when I was, like, 15. So it's not that weird. I was like, you know what? I'm going to be one of their first, like, couple thousand followers. I had to request him on Instagram. He had to accept me.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But then been following him ever since.
Nice.
And I got a notification this morning that he went live on Instagram.
Mm.
Cool.
I got to turn those off.
So are you buying stock?
Oh, I've been bought stock.
Okay.
I'm actually a whale. I own like 50% of the stock.
Okay. Okay.
Well then. Antoine knows these terms.
Of course.
All right.
Next up.
Mm.
This is a guy that showed me a lot in the Club World Cup and in the season prior to the Club World Cup, or this season. He was playing for a Serie B team, top goal scorer of the entire Serie B, now plays for Inter. It is Pio Esposito.
Mm.
Who he woke me up in the Club World Cup from Inter's awful style of football that they've shown.
Fair.
Top goal scorer for, I think it was Venezia, if I'm not mistaken. One of the good Serie B teams that go up and down from Serie A.
Spezia.
There you go. Top goal scorer for the entire Serie B. Just missed out on promotion with Spezia in the in the promotion final. Same thing that the Premier League do in the Serie A. But from what he's shown in the Club World Cup so far, I think that this can be a very good striker. Obviously, he hasn't played any games in Serie A yet, so it's very hard to judge his talent. But I see a player in there. I see a guy that can turn around this kind of I guess you could say slump. That's the slump that they're in right now. It's a very difficult situation that Inter are in. And I would hate to be in that situation if I'm Christian Chivu, their manager, trying to turn around that old Inter side. I think they can look at Pio Esposito, and that can be their guy to flip the situation.
Okay. I like it.
Thank you.
I'll buy some stock.
Thank you.
Some stock.
Nice. Yeah. Oz, hit me with your...
Here we go.
Last one, this should we say?
Yeah, let's do last one.
Let's do last one.
Oh, okay. Ooh. Then let me drop. I just want to name drop him because he is the best player out of these players I picked from Prem 2 is Jamai Simpson-Pousset. You probably have heard of him.
I've heard of him.
I really like him because Man City's defense has been a bit shaky. He's already made appearances for them. But the player I want to go for, who I'm excited for this year, is Iliman Ndiaye.
Okay.
Oh! Okay. Oh!
A name we know. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I know. I don't know if it's a real thing or not, but I think the new stadium boost, like the new... Give me a second. I think that with Everton moving to a new stadium, it's the end of an era, and they look to a new one, a more positive, a more modern era, if you will. And I think that Illiman Ndiaye is their most, was probably, if not one of their best players last season. I think they're looking to build on that. And I'm just really, I'm really excited for him. And I think that there's going to be a refueled amount of energy around the club, a lot of positivity. And I think that these Toffees are going to look to one, to somebody to spearhead this new modern era of Everton football. And I think you're looking at a 25-year-old, you're going to look to Illiman Ndiaye. I mean, he did it. He's been doing it internationally these past couple months for, where is he from again? Senegal, I think.
Senegal,
yeah. And I'm really excited for him. And I think I'm pretty high on him for next season.
Yeah. So, yeah. His stock has been rising, but I wouldn't mind getting in before it rises more. So I like that. Yeah.
You know why I'm particularly excited for Illiman Ndiaye?
Mm. Why?
Because he's a midfielder on FPL.
Is he?
He is.
Oh, of course. Oh, you're even looking.
Well, I've been looking. Jesus. I've been scouting the FPL names. Prospects. Whoa. We got to think of the name soon, and we got to think of the forfeit for Miles when he eventually loses.
Oh,
all right. I came second in the Club World Cup, and I.
Yeah, Club World Cup.
Oh yeah. Hey, how's that forfeit going?
I gotta buy that kit, but I can't find anywhere to buy a Mamelodi Sundowns.
How's
kit.
That a forfeit, bro? That's just.
I don't think it's an honor.
I don't want to spend money. Well, it's going right up here.
Yeah. Yeah. Facts.
I haven't found anywhere to buy it. So if you boys find somewhere that we can buy it for a relatively okay price, then
what's their currency?
It's rand.
Rand?
Yeah.
What's like
a lot to
20,000
rand. The conversion rate?
No,
it's not that bad. Bad.
Okay.
I think it's like 200 is like 80 here.
One South African rand
convert
is
convert my money to crypto.
Oh, it's like 7.7 wait. Yeah, it's like oh, whoa.
Just go, give me your play.
What are we doing? This bot is going off the rails. All right. Okay. Real financial advice with Blake.
Go ahead, Julian.
We good?
Yeah.
Player number four for me is Martin Zubimendi.
Ooh.
We just spent $60 million on him.
Yes. And I think in a year's time, you'll be like, it was worth more than that.
Oh, okay.
I think if Arsenal win the Premier League, he will be a massive reason for it. And I think he could really be a sneaky contender for signing of the summer. That's basically my logic behind this.
I would tend to agree with you. Just the way that Arsenal play their football, it helps Zubimendi. And it literally just complements Zubimendi's game.
Yeah.
He fits right into that Arsenal team. And is a perfect replacement for Thomas Partey, let's just say.
Yes, absolutely. Massive upgrade on Thomas Partey.
I think that Zubimendi, you know, I don't know if he'll be as much as you evaluate him to be, but he could. I think he'll be great. I think he's going to be fantastic for us.
Yeah. Or he's not starting by January for Marino or something. I don't fucking know.
Yeah. No. Fair. No, he's better than
he's
Marino.
He's immense, that guy. He's bloody immense.
No, he's better than Marino, in my opinion.
Yeah, but you don't know what Arteta's going to do, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, fair.
He'll be playing striker.
Put him at right wing.
Sure. Yeah. Fair. Stick him right wing. Stick him left wing. Who needs Rodrigo when you have Zubs?
Facts.
True. Why?
Like oh, wait, sorry.
Me? my last player is a recently transfer player. I also had Rashford on here, maybe.
Me too.
But
that I wanted to say, like, just as a...
Yeah, Sam, throw away. Do you have another Barca player?
No.
Okay, so then I'll take him.
I'll have another player that I just want to throw out
there. Yeah, that's fine. My last player is Rooney Bardi.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Not bad. Just scored in preseason.
Yeah. Look, first of all, talk about low cost for Barca as well. What was it, like?
I don't think it was that much at all.
Yeah, like 5 million or something?
Yeah, it was less than
5.
Crazy.
The only thing with him was the injury. It kept him all of 2024 out. So there's a lot of question marks with this guy. But he's kind of been knocking around the door as one of these wingers who can, like, you know, cut inside but also play along, like the new modern winger that likes to cut inside but can play all along the front three kind of thing. So I think Barca really needed wing depth, and I actually think he'll play a lot this season, hopefully, because they have Rashford in now and they have Bargi with Yamal and Rafinha.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, anyone else?
Ferran Torres, I kind of not rate that highly, if I'm honest. He's not bad, but I do think that this guy can come in and, like, genuinely make some noise, hopefully score a couple goals and just provide cover for the best right winger in the world. So it's a big task, but at the end of the day, I think he does have the quality to do it. Will his body hold up? I don't know. ACL tears are definitely hard, and they can totally change the structure of a player, but I think this guy can do it.
Will he get the minutes, though? That's my question.
That's what I'm thinking as well.
I think we'll get some minutes.
I think, to me, I revisit this one in a year.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
But sometimes you have to hold on to these for a year.
Maybe.
Because then you're going to buy too late.
You're just getting in really early on him.
Yeah.
Very early on him. I don't think he'll get the minute. He'll get like a, he'll be like an 80th minute substitute for Barcelona, I think, this season.
Maybe.
I still remember his winner against United. Fuck that guy.
Yeah, me too. Copenhagen.
Oh, yep.
Like screaming in my ear.
That was a great
time. Everyone was clowning on how it was Rooney.
No, didn't
score
they?
Against United.
Oh, yeah.
That was funny. Great times.
Could say you're in better times right now. Oh, no, you can't. No.
Damn. That's a straw. That's three.
Yeah, my bad. Last player, Anto.
Well, I just wanted to throw Ansu Fati in there, who I think can also rejuvenate his career in Monaco. No? You're not a fan?
I'm not a fan of
that. Why is that? It's okay.
How many years in a row have you been saying this is the Ansu Fati
year? Yeah, that's true. I'm going to go for Alex Baena, who just went to Atletico Madrid. Just got their new number 10, actually. I think he'll be the perfect Griezmann replacement. For Villarreal, he's shown that he could be that creative guy to play through balls to strikers. He also has a goal-scoring aspect to his game. But I think he's just such a creative player that Atletico Madrid really need and that they were missing from Griezmann's dip in form this season. I think Alex Baena can be the next guy to be that creative player for Atletico Madrid.
Hmm. Where did Griezmann go? I forget.
I mean, he's just not really that...
He's still on the team.
He still wants to play for Atletico Madrid, but his form is
very
obviously dipping.
Yeah.
Right.
Is that it?
I think that's it.
All right. There we go. I liked all our picks. Some of them a little more out there than others.
Hey, man.
But overall, I enjoyed that, lads. All right, and I think that will do it for another episode of the Six Star Box Podcast, ladies and gentlemen.
Yep.
Oh, quite enjoyed this one.
Prem predictions next week, perhaps?
Perchance.
Ooh.
You're not getting out of it, buddy.
You're not.
You're not getting out of it.
Let's do it.
All right, everybody. If you are watching on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, do all the YouTube things. If you are listening on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, give us a cheeky little 5-star rating. And let us know a player that you are investing stock in this summer. With that being said, it's been myself, Miles, Blake, and European champion Antoine, and we will see you all next week. Goodbye.
We out.
Yeah.